Why Though, the podcast, where we talk about the things in pop culture that people say matter and ask the question, but why though? So today we have the Defenders review, and this is something that if you're a fan of the Marvel Netflix universe, you've been waiting for quite a while. As always, I'm your host, Kate, and I'm here with Adrian.
Hey, how's it going?
And Matt.
Hello.
And I do want to put out that big old spoiler disclaimer right here. There's going to be some. So go watch the show, come back to this, or listen to this and make your decision as to whether or not you want to watch the show. It's up to you. I can't tell you how to live your life.
It's 6 episodes, and it's been about 2 weeks. If you haven't watched it by now, then you're probably not going to watch it.
This is also true. I would say that.
And you've probably listened to Defenders reviews already.
This is also true.
But this is gonna be the best one.
There you go.
So buckle up, kids. Because we're going to be brutally, brutally honest.
Oh, sweet Christmas. I'm not ready for this.
I'm ready. Let's do it.
All right, cool. So if you don't know what The Defenders is and you're just tuning in because, hey, you love us, The Defenders is the 6-episode miniseries where Netflix brings together its Marvel superhero shows. That would be Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and, as he says, the immortal Iron Fist. guys, first off, what did you guys want from Avengers? Did I just call them the Avengers?
Yes.
That's great. I wanted the Avengers. So, I guess that works.
There you go. We're done. Over.
And outro. Yeah. What did you want from the Defenders? What were your expectations, and were you excited for it?
Oh, okay.
Go for it, Matt.
Oh, okay. Oh, should I reword the question? I had to get used to it. What did I want from the Defenders? Well, I wanted, like, I guess it'd be. I thought it was gonna be great to see all the characters finally come together, since it was kind of weird watching them individually. And there's very few crossovers in between besides some of the side characters, like as far as the main characters. Because we saw, like, the night nurse, Rosario. Rosario Dawson, sorry. Throughout the whole and all the different shows. But she was about the only really main character that was throughout all the rest of them. Like, none of them else haven't met, which was kind of weird because they all lived in the same city. My expectations, I was really excited for this. I was kind of let down knowing it was only going to be 6 episodes, which for some reason I didn't realize until later. And I don't know why they, as much as they seemed to plug it, that it was only 6 episodes was kind of
weird.
I burst
that bubble.
Huh? Yes.
And then he complained about it for like a week.
I didn't understand why it was only 6 episodes. Especially then, unfortunately, after that I was kind of worried that they were going to spend the first 3 episodes or so just putting everything together, and then I was honestly only going to get a 3-episode miniseries. So,
is it 6 episodes or 8? I think it's 8 episodes. I think we said this wrong.
I also think it's eight.
I'm pretty sure it's 8 episodes. But
you said 6 with such conviction that I thought it was just 6. But I'm pretty sure it's 8.
So we're gonna restart the episode, and we're gonna try this again. I'm gonna get this all right.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. God. Well, in my defense, 2 of those episodes didn't need to be there.
Damn it. I'm sorry. I completely Did we have to? Can we, like, restart that?
No, I think Kate said 6 in the beginning, too.
I'm pretty sure I said 6 in the beginning.
Yeah. So can we, do you mind if we restart?
I just didn't want to say 8. I didn't want to say 8 because I didn't want to be wrong.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Right when you said that, I was like, oh, yeah, it was 8.
Okay, so I'll redo that part right now.
You should
now,
just do,
and then I'll
like
just put that in. So we actually meant that there was 8 because there were 8. So continue with your story, but with an 8 episode.
Well, that's about all I expected from based on the question, since we didn't really get into, like, what did we think of the show.
Adrian?
I expected them to bring them together in, like, a very, like, cohesive way that made me care about, like, individual characters. Like, Avengers, Hawkeye doesn't have a big part of it, but I give a shit about Hawkeye.
He's a big part of my heart.
So I was, So I was kind of hoping like they would do that part well, and they would do it quickly since there was only 8 episodes. As we've seen in Game of Thrones this past season, you could do 7 seasons. You don't need 10. You don't need 13 episodes. You just need quality episodes for each. The last couple of seasons from the Netflix universe are just either too slow to start or drop off really, really heavily in the last episodes. So I was really hoping that they were just going to avoid that altogether with having 8 episodes and just give us, you know, 8 action-pack episodes. So that's what I expected.
Yeah, so for me, I wanted, like, really strong character relationships because, like, having read Heroes for Hire and stuff, like, I know the type of friendships that Jessica, Danny, and Luke have. And so I wanted to feel that connection, or I wanted them to at least feel like characters who were going to develop that, and I didn't want it to be, like, angsty and, like, I don't know. I wanted to have, like, the camaraderie, and I also agree with you, Adrian. I wanted it to come together really, really fast, because I already know all their stories. I know where they were, and I was hoping that it was going to be fast, it was going to be action-packed, and we were going to be hyped to see everybody. And I was hoping that Finn Jones would kind of redeem Iron Fist for me. Because, like, I know if you follow me on Twitter, like, I use the word hate a lot. I don't like hating things. I want to love things.
I don't believe that for one second.
Me either. I don't agree.
I swear I don't.
You know, that's a different topic for a different episode.
But yeah, no, I wanted to like Danny. That was probably my biggest takeaway from Defenders, was I wanted to like Danny. We're going to go a little bit into, what happens in each episode. So out of the 8 episodes, I would say the first 2 3/4 is really slow going, and pretty much it's all about how these people are going to, how the Defenders are going to individually, like, come into each other's lives and realize that they're all connected through this giant conspiracy that has been rising throughout New York, which is the Hand, which you get to know a lot more in Iron Fist, but you were first introduced to in Daredevil. So what did you guys think of these first three episodes?
Well, since I was awake for all of them.
Oh, yeah. We attempted to watch them all together in a family style. It didn't work.
Yeah. And people... Yeah. Kate dropped off and Matt dropped off, like, in and out through, like, the last part of episode 2 and then most of episode 3 until, like, it actually mattered. And he was still able to follow the story, which I think is a good, like, analogy or, like, I don't know what the word is, but, like, a good...
Microcosm?
Showing for that those... Yeah, a good microcosm. Like, those first 3 episodes are kind of garbage. I mean, like, the conspiracy thing is cool, and I understand, like, if people who are just watching Defenders, they need all the background and stuff, but people who are watching Defenders already know all this stuff. Like, you've watched all the other things, or you know enough about the conspiracy to know, hey, something bad is going on in New York, and it's, like, some secret ninja stuff. And all this kind of stuff. Like, you don't really... It's just not really needed. Like, you could have done it in 1.5 episodes. Cut that time in half. Do it 1.5. And then just get it going. I will say, I really did like the... When they were transitioning from character to character, I did really like that. Because they had, like, the backdrops of each character's, like, main color there. Like, even Jessica had, like, purple stuff, like, throughout the first few episodes. And I thought that stuff was really cool. And even, like, the way they shot the scenes for each character was really cool. Like, cinematography wise, I really liked the first 3 episodes, but I really thought they were kind of boring for, like, the content that they had, if that makes sense.
What about you, Matt?
I could care less if I ever watch those 3 episodes ever again. Episode 1 was completely useless. Episode 2, yes. No, actually, episode 2 wasn't... I stayed awake for pretty much all of episode 2. Episode 3 was... You could skip the first 45 minutes and watch the last 10 minutes. It'd be great. That is... Either give me 3 more episodes at the end to make this, like, 11 to 12 series, if you're going to play these first 3 episodes, or cut these 3 down to, like, 1, maybe, like Adrian said, an episode and a half, and then have it 8. Because what I was worried about was kind of like what they did with Iron Fist, where I wasted half the season, half asleep, waiting for them to actually do something.
Yeah. Well, I think that's because Danny was half asleep for half the season.
Well, yeah. Well, in that show, yes. But, I mean, in this one, it was like, okay, come on.
Yeah.
What did you think about the cinematography, Kate?
So I liked it at first. I think for one episode, it probably it was beautiful, but for me, it was kind of really, really heavy-handed because you don't get it all coming together until they're all together. I think for me, I would have much liked it, like, okay, right when Luke's coming out and he's on the bus riding back into Harlem, like, yeah, bright yellow, but I wanted that to kind of fade as they started interacting, and I don't feel like it actually did. Like, it just stayed really stark and then just went straight to, okay, now we're doing regular cinematography and we're not focusing on their individuals. Like, I would have rather had it, like, fade, like, maybe... Like, once Jessica Jones and Matt Murdock meet, like, I would like to see both their colors represented and just kind of have it kind of slowly go into it. But in the Royal Dragon episode, which is episode 4, that Chinese restaurant that they're in, it has all of their colors around. So that was actually a really good play.
Yeah.
I just would have liked it more gradual versus, like, a really stark contrast between the cinematography in those episodes and everything else, because I think that there's a very different style in those three than what is in the rest of the series. But it was pretty. It was definitely pretty. The music was great, too.
Yeah, Luke Cage had the best scenes at all of those first ones, for sure. Definitely. And so did Jessica Jones, but from just, like, the camera angles, because that's how Jessica Jones, the series is, just a lot of really cool angles and, like, perspective shots. Yeah. Daredevils was kind of okay, and then I just wanted to, like, go to sleep during Iron Fist because his dialogue is terrible.
That's why I went to sleep. I actually was, I think, one of the reasons, well, one, I had been drinking, and two, I kind of checked out because I really didn't like that introductory fight between Iron Fist and, I'm guessing, Elektra. It was just really choppy. Like, it doesn't look like a fight. It's very much like they zoom in on different body parts and they have these really weird cuts, and I'm like, okay, this is what we're going with to begin this? Like, Finn Jones had released a whole bunch of, like, article or, like, interviews where he's like, I trained so hard for it this season, and that's your first fight scene with him, and I was just kind of like, I don't really care for this.
I actually didn't mind that fight scene. The only problem I had with that whole scene was it kind of didn't make any sense. And they never came back. Like, I still don't know who the guy was that died in that scene. It kind of never really shows. We never know if it actually is Elektra or if it's happened to be somebody else. I guess it just assumed it was her. Even though there really was no, like, total definition whether it was her, whether it was a male, female, or somebody else.
And then he acts super surprised to fight her again.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So based on all that, like, I have no idea what that scene had to do with anything, honestly.
Yeah.
It just reminded me of, like, a Liam Neeson fight scene from, like, Taken. Or, like, a chase scene from Taken with Liam Neeson. Because the dude's old, so it's, like, 50 cuts for, like, a 2-minute chase scene. And that's how I felt watching that. Like, why are there so many cuts with these people? Like, just let them fight, and can we just watch it, please? Yeah. It's bad enough it's already in the dark. Do you have to make it... Yeah. Does it have to be in the dark just because he has a glowy hand? Like, is that what's going on here? I don't really understand.
But I guess beyond that, I really agree with both of y'all on just the kind of blandness of these episodes. And Matt, where you're saying they, you know, maybe in, like, condensing it into, like, 1.5 episodes, because I don't think you really had to. Like, the big thing here was introducing Jessica and Luke into the hand, because they have to become invested in saving New York from the hand. Matt and Danny already know what they're capable of and everything. So we don't need more background on what they're doing with the hand. Like, cut that out. Just show Luke. Like, I think the arc where Luke is going to save kids in Harlem who are being taken, that was really helpful. And that shows why he's invested in it. And I think Jessica having somebody kill himself right in front of her is also something to make her really invested in this. But, like, that's really all you need for the conspiracy stuff.
We're going home. That is one of the worst scenes I've ever seen in these Netflix show. Their dialogue together is absolutely terrible.
Yeah, unfortunately.
It's very, very cringy. Because you go from, like, you know, hip-hop, you know, Harlem to these, I don't know what I'm going to do when we get to New York. I let that person die. Like, it's just bad. bad. I just don't like Danny Rand at all.
I think he has split personality.
He does have split personality.
I think so too. I think we get that a lot in the fourth episode?
Yeah, so the fourth episode is entitled Royal Dragon, and it is the first time we get to see them all really fight together, and it's the first time where they all pretty much realize they have to do something, because they're all connected into this giant web. Prior to this, you have Luke meeting Danny. So now you have everybody together, and then you have Stick from Daredevil come in, kind of like, okay, guys, this is some serious things. And then it turns out that this just highlights how stupid they play Danny, or they write Danny for the entire series. He uses a cell phone when an international crime syndicate is trying to find them. And he tells Colleen where they are. And I am assuming that is how they find them. Like, everybody's just looking at him like, why would you do that? Like, everybody else in the room knows that this is something you don't do. And he does it. Like, I can only take the, newborn babe routine for so long.
Yeah, and that's the problem, right? Like, he has, I have this duty to Kung Lun, and I'm the mortal Iron Fist, and blah, 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 blah. But then he has scenes like that, where he just acts like a punk ass. Like, have some consistency in the way you're doing that character. Like, do I want to think that he's, this devoted guy who wants to be a savior, and he's a little whiny about it? Or is he just, or is he actually, Oliver Queen before he goes to the island kind of character. Like, you can't have both.
Oh, and then you throw in quippy Iron Fist, who comes out when it's just him and Luke talking.
Yeah, I'll take that Iron Fist when he's talking with Luke Cage, one-on-one and tied up, and that's a little bit later on, but, I like that Iron Fist. I like that guy.
I actually think the one-on-one scenes are actually pretty good with him and Luke. The problem is it's not consistent to any of the other parts of his character.
Exactly.
What about you, Matt? Well, I think problem two is I feel like we're going to be finally in Iron Fist season two, Defenders season two, before Iron Fist finally figures out what he is, who he is, or even the definition of his character. I feel like this is now season two of an origin story going on to possibly season three of him still having his origin story figuring out.
And I think it's actually in the episode before it, where Luke and him are in the dojo, and Luke has this conversation with him where he pretty much just checks Danny's privilege, where he's like, dude, you can't just do this. Like, these kids from Harlem, you do not need to kill them. Do not beat them that bad. Like, they're obviously not there out of their own volition. And then he ends up with telling him, you have always had power. You were born into money. And then Danny's right after that, he's like, oh, I own 51% of a company. I'll just start calling people. And I'm like, did you need somebody else to tell you these things?
Well, at least in Danny's defense, he wasn't running around flashing all his money all the time. He tried to do it without having 51% of the company, even though he kind of went about it in a really, really weird way.
I think Luke's problem with it, and I think with the problem I had, is the end, and this goes back to your point of him not knowing who he is.
Yeah.
At the end of season one of Iron Fist, he has that money. He has a press conference.
Does he get that?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, he does.
He does.
He does have that press conference.
he has accepted he has taken Rand company back from the Meachums. So he is a company head.
Yeah, that's right.
The problem is he's still trying. They're flying in a private jet to go do all this stuff. He is aware of all the things that he has, and he's still trying to do it at a Jessica Jones, Luke Cage level. And it's dude, you have the power. Yeah.
Did you see what he's wearing? He's wearing homeless people's clothes throughout the whole part.
It's like this guy's never heard of Tony Stark in this universe. If you have money, dude, you could literally do whatever you want in this universe.
I thought that kind of just highlights Danny's character for me. And I think we're going to talk about them later, but I think it's good if we work them in here, because I just can't wait until the end to talk about he's just so badly written.
Yeah, for sure. But the hand coming in that episode is pretty dope, though.
My favorite part is this is the first time we actually get to see Madame Gao really, really in action.
If you say that, but Jessica Jones kicked the shit out of her. She just opened the door, saw Madame Gao, and I don't know if he kicked her or punched her, but just knocked her halfway across the room, and was like, all right, let's go. We're going. I was like, Madame Gao, you're just going to get punched that?
Well, in her final fight, she takes on both of them.
First impression.
My first impression was that Madame Gao is a Force user. That was my first impression, and I thought it was badass. And I love Madame Gao.
Because she's old and they don't know how to cut a scene with, to like make her punch stuff without making it look like she's like...
No, they do it later, stuff. And I think it's actually pretty good. And I think...
No, I think it's bad the entire time. Like, when she hits the door... Because I know it's like, when she hits the door and stuff, she's like... Listeners at home, you can't see me because we're
recording this. I love how you and Kate do this all the time. Like,
and then it's like this, and then it's like... I was like, it's not even close. She's not even close to hitting it. Have they learned nothing from
Lisa? I didn't think she was trying to hit it, honestly.
She wasn't trying to. She was propelling her chi to force it open. And yes, I am also doing hand things. And Matt is shaking his head at me.
She hits the ground when she's fighting them in the
well, because
in
she
the garage
wants,
thing.
Because
she
wants
hits
the ground
shockwave
there. To go
she,
up.
But in the same exact
because
movement,
she wants
hits
the
ground.
Shockwave to go up. You have to put the force into it. And it's more dramatic that way.
How does that make any sense when you're trying to hit someone who's on the floor? Why would you want the force to go up if you're trying to hit the person on the floor?
Know.
That's not how the force works.
You seen Gandalf fight?
Yeah, he carries a big ass spear or a staff. She should be using that stick. Big ass sword should have came out of her stick.
Well,
I would
spoiler
have liked
for Iron Fist, she does execute. Was it two people? She cuts their heads off with the sword that's in there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, why didn't she use it in the show? That would have been awesome.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, no, she pretty much executes members
she
of
like,
her. Which I think, honestly, yeah. Adrian, I will say this. I think that is why I have such an affection for her, is because she's probably one of the main highlights of Iron Fist. Because of how good
she could have killed everybody if she would have just used a sword.
They weren't trying to kill him at the time.
Yeah, they were trying to take him alive.
No, okay, Jessica Jones and Luke Cage... You could kill Jessica Jones.
They weren't worried about them.
She's not invincible.
They didn't care what they were doing.
Also, I do like the self-reflexivity of Jessica going, damn it, I'm the only one that doesn't know kung fu or karate. That made me happy.
Yeah. Yeah. All you have to do is touch him, and that's her main goal. Just make sure you tap somebody.
And I also really liked that her character doesn't really change while she's there. Like, she still has Jessica's attitude as she's going through these things.
The same.
She's like, you know what?
Yeah.
I just want to leave. Like, let's just do this so I can get back to my life. I know that I have to do this.
Literally, literally takes a beer from a bum on the subway.
Yes.
It's hardcore.
Which I also think, too, like, I know, like, Matt, you've talked about it, like, also being super strong means that Luke and Jessica don't have the best fight scenes.
No.
Because they just punch. They're pretty punchy.
No.
And that's about it.
Yeah.
They look awkward.
Yeah, super punchy.
Like,
it looks like giant little glomps, orgs running around trying to fight.
The worst part was I think Luke Cage does it to Madame Gao and she moves it out of the way and it looks like he's going in for a bear hug.
Yeah.
And it makes... I think we were laying down watching that.
If I was Luke Cage, I would bear hug the shit out of people.
I think I was watching it with Matt, and I was like, bear hug! Bear hug! But honestly, I would have liked to have seen Luke Cage beat the crap out of that. I don't even know his name, but that dude that was stealing the Harlem kids. Like, we know he did it, but I would have loved to have seen it. So, like, I can't...
Yeah, because he got... That dude was kicking his ass. And I was, because when we see like Luke Cage like fly out of like the restaurant, I was like, oh, I want to see those dudes fight way more because that is amazing.
Which, like, I can't critique Danny's fighting if I don't critique the fact that Jessica and Luke don't have that much fighting, and it's kind of.
But they're not supposed to, so it's not fair. They're supposed to be punchy.
This is true.
He had a street fight at the end of his episode, and she's a drunk. Yeah. Like.
This is true. But I do think when she did hit things, she made it count.
Yeah, for sure.
So, like...
Yeah, Electric's pretty badass.
Oh, yeah,
too.
Electric's...
Like, because we see, like, Electric go, and then we see it pan away, and then we basically see them getting, like, their asses kicked. And I'm like, oh, she's pretty badass. I think she's... Okay, we'll talk about that later.
So the reason he also brings up Electra is this when the entire team gets to see her and realize that this is really what's happening. And, of course, being Daredevil's love interest, if you've seen season 2, at the end of episode 3, they fight in that business place, that tower.
Yeah.
Yeah, they fight in the tower, and he realizes that she doesn't have a heartbeat. But he's pretty sure it's her.
Yeah.
Yeah, so in this one, you kind of get him, you get the first taste of, like, Matt Murdock being Matt Murdock and going, like, I can't hurt you, please love me. And just trying to, you know, make her love him. And you see her attack one of the fingers of the hand.
Well, because this is the first time where she starts actually realizing, and I guess she finally met somebody. Because I think they said they couldn't obviously take everything when they reincarnated her. But with, I guess, with Daredevil finally, like, she met somebody from her past life, which kind of jogged her memory.
Yeah.
Or at least her curiosity into who she was before, which seemed more... Instead of jogging her memory, it seemed like her it inspired her curiosity to go see who she actually was.
Yeah.
Best way, I guess, meeting somebody that was, like, actually a fighter, and it's like, you died in my arms.
Would yeah.
Definitely be kind of interesting.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's fine with me. I didn't see any
problems. No, I didn't either. I thought that was really well done. And I honestly, I hate those, like... type scenes, but I actually really liked that one. Like,
it was... I thought it was fun. You could give me more of that and less of Foggy and
Karen
that,
Page.
Oh,
that
God.
Unfortunately, I have Karen not Page. Become a fan of those two.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, don't. Well, towards the end, like when Foggy comes around and whatever. But I was like, you can't be doing this. Like who are you his mom?
Page, get out of here. That is the reason why I really hate Karen, because in season one Daredevil, she's actually like, she goes from victim to I'm taking control of what I'm doing.
She murders somebody, and it's still never brought up in season one, season two.
And like, how can you
Defenders
be this?
At all.
Like, how could you be this critical of him still after you killed the dude and got away with it?
And told nobody.
Like, no, but my number one pet peeve with any, not just female characters, any character, is when one character either likes or gets into a relationship with somebody and then tries to frickin' change them. Especially when they're, like, a superhero or, like, somebody who's doing good in their universe. Or because, like, you knew who they were. Like, just don't.
Like yes. Felicity.
Yes, like Felicity. I still love Foggy though, but I think Foggy honestly comes at it from a different perspective though versus Karen.
Yeah, him being angry is okay. Karen Page being angry doesn't I don't mind.
And the reason we're bringing up Karen and Foggy is because right after this you have Take Shelter, which is episode 5, and this is where you have all of the side characters in the Marvel Netflix universe coming together, being housed in Misty Knight's police department and being protected.
Which I really was not a fan of their police department or how they go about things at all.
Why?
It was just annoying. I thought it was really annoying. It was kind of this whole... I guess kind of the theme to this whole thing was like, it turned into this... What are you... I guess especially dealing with those characters from, like, the other shows, I guess the more Jessica Jones and Luke Cage characters, because they're, like, police and private eyes and everything else, was just like, that's against the law. You can't do that.
Oh,
and so I was just like, okay.
You didn't like when Jessica kept bringing up the fact of what crimes they were committing?
Like, who cares? Like, Stick walked in and said he cut his own hand off and acted like it was no big deal. Like, oh, I had to cut my hand off. My bad. I had to escape. That dude didn't seem to care. We don't have time to worry about whether you did a B&E right now. That dude's missing a hand.
In the defense of this, the only reason, because I do agree I don't like it when that happens, but I understand it because Luke and Jessica are public faces. Like, they don't hide behind anything. And so whereas Daredevil can go break as many laws as he wants, he's Matt Murdock at the end of the day. And he doesn't have to face it. Whereas Jessica and Luke are both on the radar. So once they have all of their loved ones safe from the hand in the police department, you end up with them taking the guy that they have had, what do you call it? The finger of the hand, Luke Cage shows up like, I got this guy. He's beat to crap. They keep him prisoner.
Yeah.
Stick cuts his head off.
I think that...
Yeah, that was pretty baller, to be honest.
I do like that whole thing series, which also, once again, turns me off to those other characters of... Basically, Daredevil shows up, basically uses baton, and basically wraps a wire basically around his throat and nearly kills him there. And they, like, freak out. And then all of a sudden he gets up because they, like, freaking out on him for doing it, and then Stick cuts his head off. And of course, Daredevil's like, whatever. And then everybody else is like, oh my gosh, you killed a guy.
Not Danny.
Well, Danny still don't know what the hell he's doing. He's still lost.
I agree with you there, and when we get to like the last episode, I have a big problem with like one of their conversations in there, which is kind of like similar. So I feel you, and so we don't go off a tangent now. I'll bring it up when we talk about the last episode.
Ultimately, this episode ends with Danny is tied up. Luke is charged with taking care of him while Jessica and Matt head off to go find out some more information on the tower.
So do you think they made the right decision in tying him up? Was that great logic or flawed logic?
What are you going to do? He's going to want to leave as soon as he wakes up.
Well, I guess
he has to do is land a good punch
on Luke. Yeah, no, I guess the whole point was, did they make a great decision in, like, we should keep him here and then we'll fight him to knock him out, then have to tie him up, obviously, but...
Yeah.
I guess better question would be, would you rather let him fight or would you rather tie him up?
I would have tied him up because he's going to go. He was about to go half cocked and do something stupid and he wasn't listening. And Luke is obviously the perfect one to keep him there, not only because he's the only one who could stand a good chance by taking a punch. And his just opinion on Danny is just like the perfect logic. She's like, oh, I'm tied up here like a prisoner. He's like, no, not like a prisoner.
You are a prisoner.
I was like, hey, Luke.
Which,
that's hardcore. I like that.
Which, by the way, I actually really love a lot of like the jokes they put towards each other because they kind of recognize how ludicrous it is that all of them do the things that they do. Like Jessica's interaction with Matt, like those are some of my favorite lines. Like, if you touch me again, I'm gonna punch you so hard you can see. I really liked that, which just goes back to like Jessica takes no shit, and that just makes me happy that they kept her that way.
Keep saying this, but basically Daredevil kicked everybody's ass in that first
beast. Oh no, Daredevil definitely kicks everybody's ass. Like, I was a strong like, nah, he can't take out Luke, and then I'm like, no, I think Daredevil can pretty
he didn't
much
even
kick
care when Danny
there.
Was like, I'm gonna leave. He's like, no, you're not.
Yeah,
yes I am. I am Iron Fist. He's like, I don't care.
Yeah, when he just walked in front of him, he's like,
you really
want to
do this?
Like, really, are we really gonna do this?
Yeah.
I definitely could, because we had this argument in our Marvel universe episode, like who would win between Daredevil and Spider-Man. I still think Spider-Man would beat it, but Daredevil is definitely the best fighter on that show for sure. Except I would have loved to see Luke and Daredevil go at it. Like there was a couple times where they almost did, and I think that would have been a great fight because I only say this because we haven't seen the fight, but like what would he be able to do to Luke Cage other than like hit him really, really
hard? You see
hard
what Elektra did to Luke
out?
Cage?
Yeah.
But she has, like, super strength.
Oh, she does. Well, yeah, she
obviously.
Does. But she, like, 1.5 now?
I don't know, dude. When the first scene, like, where she's like, where she was like, oh, she's ready, and they send in all those dudes, she was knocking dudes, like, flipping dudes over, making them do, like, triple backflips.
He's got heightened senses.
Stuff. Like, she definitely. And she, like, knocked Jessica Jones, like, all the way across the room.
Yeah, no,
and
they did.
Yeah,
yeah,
she
no,
has super strength
Jessica,
for sure.
Jessica, like, breaks the wall.
What do you mean Daredevil doesn't have heightened senses?
Oh, I thought you said Luke Cage has heightened senses.
I was like, what are you talking about? How, like, the dude has sonar freaking radar to see.
but on that same token, Elektra comes in and just dicks on everybody in that scene. Yeah. And it's probably one of my favorite scenes in the entire show because she just whoops everybody's ass. Kills Stick like a thug and then just kills and just
which is
everyone.
Stupid
awesome.
Honestly, the stupid thing that they made logically was letting Stick be involved in the captivity process. Because
well, at that
Stick
point, they had no
that's,
choice.
That's
well,
a
they
stupid
had no
part.
Choice at that point.
Yeah.
Like, I understand that, but it's just like, he's the reason shit went sideways. Because he attempted to, like, kill Nick Cage. Or, not Nick Cage. Kill. He attempted.
Wow.
Nick Cage. I know he was in this show.
He attempted to kill Luke Cage. Or at least, like, wound him. I know that Rosario was really worried about him.
I think he just knocked him out. I don't think he attempted to necessarily kill him.
The worry on Rosario's face made me think that it was something that was bad.
Well, in defense of that, or at least saying that, they made both Rosario Dawson character and
Colleen,
like, so, at least from, like, what she was in Iron Fist to now, like, was so poorly done. She turned into, like, a baby.
Yeah, I put a tweet out about that. I'm like, for
she's
a character
into, like,
that, like, they included in Iron Fist, and, like, her entire thing in Iron Fist is that she's learning how to fight from Colleen. So that she doesn't have to sit on the sidelines. Like, both of them just whine and complain the entire time. And it,
like,
really annoys me.
She's almost a better fighter than Danny is. The whole, almost throughout
Colleen,
Iron Fist.
Yeah.
Throughout Iron Fist. And then in this show, they make her like, oh, you're just an amateur.
Yeah.
And not saying she was, like, better, because obviously they had superpowers. But they made it to where she was just, like, nothing. And it was just very disappointing. That was one character I was very disappointed in, what they did with her.
Yeah. No,
compared to what they actually, she was actually a a bright spot in Iron Fist.
Yeah, definitely. So episode 7 is where everything takes a turn, and we haven't mentioned her yet, but Sigourney I don't care. Sigourney motherfucking Weaver is in Fenders. I love Sigourney Weaver. I love Ripley. She has been the leader of the Hand, we find out, for since it's the beginning.
She made it.
Yeah, so she made it, and she has 4 other people. And she leads them all, and they've all tried to usurp each other in the past. Yeah. And so this entire time, it's built up that you're expecting, like, Madame Gao or Bakoto, who was from Iron Fist and Colleen's old mentor, to take her out. Or the Japanese guy, and I don't remember his name.
Oh, the bear guy? I call him the sun bear guy.
Sun bear guy.
Taking intestines out of a sun bear at the beginning of... And he's like, oh, I hunted him. I was like, dude, you're like a dope martial artist. Like, go try to fight a lion or something. You killed a sun bear, you pansy. Go fight a polar bear.
He said he killed wolves. He hunted wolves.
Look, those aren't big enough for me. You need to go fight something huge. For the size that dude is, you better be fighting polar bears.
And so, like, this entire time, you're expecting them to usurp her because they don't like what Alex, her name's Alex, right?
Yeah. I call her Ripley. Yeah. Sorry, not sorry. She's also had, like, dozens and dozens of names, so we can go with Ripley.
Yeah. so they've all haven't been agreeing with what she's been doing, because what happens is Ripley pretty much has made Elektra her child. That is how she's treating her, because you find out she lost her child before she gained her immortality. And so she's putting all of this, like, maternal affection into her, and believes that Elektra, who is also known as the Black Sky, is who is going to save the Hand and grant them the rest of their ooze. Or I guess, I don't remember what they call it.
Yeah,
in the show.
I thought
the substance.
It was ooze. I really
call it the substance.
Yeah, they kept calling it the substance. All I could think of was, like, the ooze. Like,
yeah.
That's all I could think
of. Yeah, I have no idea.
It's New York, the ooze. You know, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, it's all the same, right?
Yeah, pretty much. So the big turn here is that after Matt wakes something up inside of her, she keeps searching for more and more of Elektra Nachios and less of this, like, daughter identity to Ripley. And so she goes to his apartment and things, and she kind of awakens Elektra in herself, and she ends up killing her. And assumes complete control over the Hand.
Which is a total shocker, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't see it coming at all. I was legitimately shocked.
Which is funny, because the Japanese guy, who we have no idea what his name is, I keep wanting to say Nobu, but he was the guy who hired Nobu.
Oh, yeah, he is the guy who hired Nobu.
He was actually going to fight her and probably kill her until she dragged in Danny right before that scene.
Yep.
So it went from, like, possibly one of them dying to neither of them dying to she being killed. Which is really out of nowhere. But, in side note, it actually works with all of the Marvel Netflix universes, where the first main villain always dies in probably approximately at least 3/4 of the way.
Yeah.
So in that case, we probably shouldn't have been shocked.
But it was a good twist. I think as we've said before, if we all agree on something, it is fact.
Yeah.
So this is fact.
I'm good with that.
And so as we move on to this, you end up with the very last episode, The Defenders, where you have them...
First break out of jail.
Oh, yeah. They break out of jail. Yeah, that's kind of important. The 7th episode is called Fish in the Jailhouse.
So essentially, they're after Elektra comes by, knocks everybody out, Stick's dead, Danny's gone, and Dickhead's sent the head, which is another great scene that unfortunately we get to talk about. And leaves the rest of his body just laying around out there. They get arrested.
He tells Luke that he's going to take care of it, assuming he's going to get rid of it, but he just ships the head off to the Hand.
Yeah, Luke wanted no part of that. Anyways, so they all get found in jail. They all get arrested because they're all knocked out. They wake up in the jail cells wondering what happened. They all basically under questioning. They're like, they're two dead bodies. What's going on? Whatnot. And so essentially they're about to charge all of them. And this is a part where basically... Daredevil or Matt Murdock, he's lawyer part at this time, just calls all his clients into a council and council in any other room. Foggy comes in, says, do what you have to, here's your suit. They decided, okay, what do you guys want to do as your legal counsel? We need to save the world. Luke breaks a hole in the wall, or we assume Luke, maybe Jessica, I don't know, breaks a hole in the wall.
One of the super strong people.
Yes. Anybody but Daredevil breaks a hole in the wall. They basically go, they actually think they kidnapped the blind warrior. And he's just riding along, So they basically sneak out to then meet up at the middle part.
I feel like you should have done recaps for all these episodes, because I think that was really good.
Yeah, no, I thought that's what you were going to do, move it super fast with that. But
I get sidetracked really easily.
Yep, that's what happened in that episode. Finale!
Yeah. I was like, you can take it from here, and now we're caught up now.
That's what happened there, and we're at the finale called The Defenders. Which in true Marvel style, or Marvel Netflix style, this is where you have everybody in their own and working as a team together. And you also have Colleen and Claire decide that they're not going to sit on the sidelines anymore. And then everybody tells them to sit on the sidelines.
And then they kind of fuck everything up anyway.
Yes. Yeah, pretty much.
But before that, the whole reason, like, they're there, like, she was there to plant the bombs. Why was the bomb thing such... Why was that like a 5-15 minute discussion on like whether or not we're going to blow up this building or not? After one, they know that no one is in the building anymore. And two, it's just going to go straight down. It's strategically placed. No one else is going to get hurt. But the like, they're like,
yeah, the architect placed.
Yeah.
Them.
No, like he knew where to place them. But like Luke's like, I don't want any part of this. I was like, no one's getting hurt here. Jack off, like just why is this a conversation? It's kind of like the one like what Matt was talking about. Like, why are we trying to be like holier than thou when you guys have already done a whole bunch of messed up stuff and no one is going to get hurt in this blowing up the building thing? It was such a long discussion. Yeah, it really like took me out of the show for a finale. I was like, all right, come on, let's go.
Yeah, that scene was a total, like, I completely hated that scene. I was with you. I was like, basically, Daredevil was like, let's do this. Colleen's like, do this, let's go. Danny's still wherever. Oh, yeah, he's still in the show, but he's gone. But then, the other people interacting
he's chasing butterflies in the
belly. Luke's over
of
here
dragon.
Growing a conscience over here all of a sudden. Like, you just broke it.
Luke has
you
always had a conscience.
You shipped the head to the hand.
Well, technically he didn't. He walked away.
But
so
no, like,
part
like
of
Luke
it.
Has, like, walked away from every
he's
possible
been a
bad
coward
thing that has happened.
This entire series.
He's also somebody who did prison time.
It doesn't matter. Then don't
twice.
Go back. Then don't go back and try to save kids. Don't get into hero business if you're that worried.
It's a building. Like, you know what's going on there. Like, no one's going
to
get hurt.
The first thing Jessica Jones goes, that's domestic terrorism stuff. Well, then go away. You had a chance and you didn't want to be here. Then leave.
Yeah.
It's just a coward excuse of, like, we need to be here for the moral good, but, oh, we have to do something bad? Oh, we shouldn't do this, guys. Well, then leave.
Yeah, like, the Avengers killed, like, a whole bunch of people in Sarkovia. I mean, it's okay. Like, you'll be okay if you take down a building with nobody in it with a whole bunch of evil people. Like, you'll be okay, Luke and Jessica.
Well, but I do think, too, like, I understand at least Luke, because I'm like, this dude's already been in prison twice. And he does want to help people, so he doesn't want to go back to prison. But Jessica, I didn't really understand.
He's going to prison whether or not he takes down the building. He just broke out of jail. He's going to
prison
regardless.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. You already did all this. You went this far, and now you're going to turn around and go, oh, I don't want to do this. Why? You did all that? You're accused of basically kidnapping a blind lawyer.
Yeah, sorry. That's probably my least favorite scene of the whole thing. But then you have really cool fight scenes later on, and it's okay. So,
I definitely concede. But, so you end up with Claire pretty much, like, guilting Colleen into going to place the bombs with her and not being involved in it. Because they just kind of, like, point out, you don't have superpowers, guys. These people have been alive for thousands of years. Don't fight them. That being said, Colleen does actually end up fighting one of the Fingers of the Hand, Bakudo, who trained her in everything. And you finally see her stop being, like, meh.
She went back to Iron Fist.
Yeah, she went back into badass Iron Fist Colleen, and you even get to see, like, Rosario didn't forget how to fight. She actually fought in that scene, too. So, I like kind of like what you said, Matt, they kind of wasted those characters otherwise. This is also important because Misty gets her robotic arm because Bakudo chops that off.
Do you see the thing that she tweeted today?
Yes.
The
yes.
Yeah, looks pretty good. I'm down.
Yes, I am too. So you get that, and
let's whip that thing off like butter.
Yeah. And Colleen, in turn, slipped his head off like butter.
Well, she slit his throat, and then he like, ugh! And then she just cut his head off and said, we don't even have to worry about it. I stabbed you last time, you came back alive.
Yeah, it looked really cool.
This time you're not going to have a head if you come back alive.
Yeah.
And then he fell on the bomb, and everybody... Activate. You know, had to run away from the exploding building because they finally found the ooze. They found the ooze of the dragon that something something Danny yeah. Rand. I didn't watch Iron Fist.
Oh my god! It, which, by the way,
which you don't have to explain to me. It's okay.
No, I know. Understand. I'm not gonna explain it to you. When Luke is like disrespecting the dragon, or like not him. I don't. Somebody's like disrespecting the dragon, and Danny Rand is like, "How dare you disrespect whatever the hell the dragon's name is?" And he's like, "Dude, you punched its heart out."
Yeah.
Like. What? <Yeah. laughs> I think it's them when they're talking about the
when
they're
tied up. I think so too. Yeah. When he's tied up. Yeah. But yeah, that was cool. There was lots of cool fight scenes. The Hand fights some people. You know.
Yeah, they all fight. They all fight. It's all really great. I actually think that episode is really well done. Also, Jessica saves them from falling to their death.
So, yeah, that was pretty cool. I like that. Yeah, that was actually cool. That was like a helicopter, like, you know, train slash like boat scene, kind of like in a mini form. I liked it.
Which also brings back to, I will give Finn Jones credit. His dialogue is still awful and he still talks like he can't pronounce sentences, but he did at least learn how to fight.
No.
Or at least the way they portrayed.
Yeah. His fight scenes with Elektra, other than like that first one, I thought his fight scenes were completely fine. I didn't really have
any problems. I thought they were three times better. I was like, that's fine. Now if only he could learn how to talk.
Yeah. Yeah. The one like where, when he's fighting Elektra the first time and like Elektra like makes, or like in that episode, like Elektra like makes his hand hit the wall. I thought that was really, really well done. Yeah. I like that.
Which is weird because, sorry, but I didn't know when he learned to finally basically keep his chi and his hand up for a while.
Yeah, I don't know.
That just came out of nowhere when he learned how to do that, apparently.
Yeah.
Well, at least something in his character is having progression.
Yeah, that was like a progression that unlocked that we don't know when he powered up, but.
Yeah. So ultimately, the show ends with Daredevil seemingly dying in the bottom because he stays back to save or just be with the love of his life.
That was a great scene. I'm sorry. That was probably the best part of the show.
It was. But it was so good. Like, the dialogue was really good, too.
The way they did that whole scene with them basically trying to kill each other slash not kill each other slash love each other slash fight each other was very well done. And they both knew they were going to die. And neither one of them cared.
Yeah. It was really good. It was really good. But they ruin it all by showing him alive at the end.
No, they did not ruin it. I almost, like, at 4 o'clock in the morning, almost threw the controller through the TV. Like, you killed off the best character in this entire series.
But he died in the substance, so I knew he was going to be alive.
I mean,
so, like, I knew that was going to happen.
And they also, like, how often do they kill people?
This is true. The only thing I was worried about, because there was talk of like rumor whether it was going to be season 3 Daredevil for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I wasn't 100% sure at that time, and I was also, like I said, at 4 o'clock in the morning, whether they had fully confirmed season 3 or not.
Yeah. No, I was very emotional when he died, and then I was like, oh, that's not the end? That's not how they're ending this?
Yeah, no, I was
and
very.
And then it kept going. And then I was like, oh, okay. And then I just didn't like that they showed him alive at the end. I didn't like that.
I needed that.
Yeah, I might have believed it more because they do the whole thing where, like, oh, everybody's sad that Daredevil is dead.
Give me Ben Eric back. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was like, this is ridiculous. And so basically all of, like, their feelings don't matter because he's still alive at the end. So why do I care about him fake dying if you're just going to show me that he's alive and make these people take up all this time? It's all about, like, managing your time correctly. I don't think the show does it all that well. Like, you don't have to show me all this
stuff. Well, at least they did that because I will say the fact that they waited to the very last moment was nice, at least if you're going to do that. Because at least for a while there, it made it seem like some of the stuff was real because you're like, okay, nobody's come back. Okay, we've had another scene. Nobody's come back. All right, he's not come back. We still have nothing. He's not come back. Oh, we pretty much have the credits and he still hasn't come back. Like, oh, shit.
Yeah, I can concede that. But I still would have wished they wouldn't have shown it.
Yeah, no, that's fine if they didn't show it. But at least the way they did show it, they made sure it was that they made you believe that he was actually dead.
So I think we've pretty much talked about a lot of the characters. I think we've absolutely dragged Danny, like, as much as we can. but I guess, like, for you guys, who were your favorite characters of Defenders? And who do you think they could have done more with?
I like Stick. I was sad he died. Stick will always be one of my favorite characters just because he's Stick in the way he plays a dick, pretty much, and basically very logical. Even if sometimes his logic was we need to kill him, it was actually pretty sound logic, sadly, at that point. But my favorite character is still Daredevil, and confirmed that Daredevil is still way better and probably could still beat all those characters. And honestly, as the show went on and progressed, as some of the stuff we talked about with the way the other characters were acting, where Danny's still in episode one of season one trying to figure out himself, Colleen turned into, like, a baby, like, whiny, and then the other two were still worried about, like, oh, did I like, jaywalk or something? I only care about Daredevil by the end of the show, and I didn't really care about any of the other characters. And I actually liked the way they finally... I didn't really care for the way they did Elektra in season two with the way his response was to her, but I liked the way they did it this season.
So you think they redeemed her?
Yeah. Well, I didn't like how he treated her in season two how she is.
That's true.
Because he was in that whole, like, perspective of, like, you do bad things. We're supposed to be good. And, like, you just probably threw somebody off a roof. Yeah. And he finally realized and accepted, this is who I am.
Well, it's also because she died in his arms. And
well, now, I know. We're talking about, like, he, like, literally kind of broke her heart, basically, because...
Yeah. The character relationship actually had an impact on how it happened again. Yeah. It meant something. What about you, Adrian?
I still rock with Luke Cage. I thought his scenes were pretty good with whoever he's with, specifically with Jessica Jones. I know they weren't, like, huge parts of the show, but him and Jessica Jones still had great interactions, and I wish they would have gotten it on.
They wanted to. They wanted that coffee.
Yeah. Well, because they even had it, like, at the end, they have, like, the whole, like, man, he was like, you never called, and she was like, well, you could have, too. But then they also understand that, like, if you haven't watched it, Jessica Jones is told by Kilgrave to shoot him in the head. That's a pretty traumatic experience. And neither of them really wanted to talk about that after that. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, those two are probably my favorites, to be honest. Obviously, I wish they would have done more with Finn Jones and just consistency. But we've talked about that enough for me to not talk about it again.
For me, I think Jessica Jones was awesome. Just how her character stayed throughout of it. It felt like a very complete character. But I will say... I'm with Matt on Daredevil just being the best, which I think as much as Iron Fist was the heart of the story for the most part because he was the key to the ooze, I think Daredevil was the one that held it all together really well. And I actually walk out hating Finn Jones more than I did in the other one.
Why?
Because, okay, not Finn Jones. Hating Danny as a character, not Finn Jones.
Like, I thought Finn Jones actually did a good redemption job.
I think the fighting got better.
I will not blame an actor based on... Unless he, like, came up and wrote his own lines.
Okay.
I can't necessarily blame him for what he's told to say.
Yeah.
If somebody tells me, I am home, we are home, and I say it like that, what more... And I sound stupid, what more do you want me to do?
Yeah. No, I can see that. But, well, no, I can't see that because Stick was very abrupt and to the point and, like... stuff like that, like Madame Gao, very abrupt and to the point, like very like short sentences, really, like, I don't know, I still hold it that like a good actor can sell a bad script, but I totally understand, like, he was terribly written and that's probably not all on him, like, he didn't make the choices to code switch every time a freaking different frame came up. But the reason I say I hate Danny Rand as a character and I really don't want him anywhere near this is because it was like Netflix heard all the criticisms everybody said, and the entire season was just everybody else ripping on Finn Jones the entire time for everything. So, like, I think it even highlighted all of his faults even more. Like, I want to do that on my couch. I don't necessarily want to keep being told how much of an idiot he is, and now I don't want to watch him ever again. So, yeah, that's pretty much it for me.
Yeah.
So
that's a fair point.
Yeah, they should have done more with Colleen because she was whiny.
What are you guys looking forward to next? Obviously, now we have Luke Cage season 2 coming, Punisher. Daredevil season 3. We're not going to talk about Punisher because he's not a defender yet. Jessica Jones season 2 and Iron Fist season 2.
I'll talk about Punisher because I think him being in this would have made it 1,000 times better. At least, like, mentions of him being in the show would have been better. Yeah, like, I'm more excited about Punisher than I am any of, like, the renewal seasons for any of the other characters. And I like Luke Cage, but I'm more excited for
Punisher. I'm excited for Punisher, but I'm really excited for Daredevil season 3. And honestly, I'm, like, not excited anymore for any of the characters. Like, unfortunately, the show, I don't know, maybe I feel bad, but the show really did not, like, I really do not like Luke Cage now. I really don't care for Jessica Jones even less, and Danny Rand still lost.
You're about to get
I don't even care. Like, it just seemed like for being such a big, strong presence, just like you acted like such a coward in some cases.
Yeah, I mean, like I get that, but I also know that, like, Luke Cage's big thing is, like, not using all the violence, which I know doesn't make sense because you are now having to fight a criminal syndicate.
If it's too dangerous where you will, that you cannot and will not tell the police, then accept what you're going to go do.
Yeah, no, I get that.
Tell the police and walk away or realize the police can't help. I need to go do this, and I'm going to do it at whatever takes.
You know, actually, I think the problem I had with Luke Cage is the strong part of his characters from his solo series was a lot of the dramatic acting, and I don't think I got a lot of that. I didn't get a lot of the interplay with other characters as much as I wanted to, with the exception of him and Jessica, because, like, him and Jessica, like, Mike Coulter and Kristen Riddler, they are awesome together. And they sell the crap out of that chemistry, but I don't think we got enough of what, like, Mike Coulter was good at.
So, I did like that, because I almost felt like, can we get rid of Rosario Dawson, go somewhere else, and I'll take them too? I will say that. You can tell, to me, it seemed like he almost felt guilty in some ways, sometimes, or thing of being with her and not Jessica.
Yeah.
That was just my personal opinion.
So, for me, Punisher, that's probably what I'm most excited for, and then season 3 of Daredevil. As, like, right in right there together. That's about all.
Which is going to be cool, because I kind of hope Punisher meets Luke Cage. What's Luke Cage going to do? His head's going to explode from seeing Punisher's logic.
I don't know. I think Luke Cage's character makes sense, like, from his origin, especially what we've seen in the show, like, not wanting violence. But I get what you're saying, too. Like, if you're in that situation, like, you kind of have to accept that you have to do violence right now.
You're not saving kids anymore. You're going to war. Stick.
Yeah. Stick.
So... Yeah.
We should have got shawarma at the end.
So I fully expect you, if you're ever arrested, to cut your hand off and walk into whatever restaurant might restaurant.
Technically,
I'm
you
in.
Can dislocate your thumb pretty well and you can slip out.
So you're saying he could have done that instead of cutting his hand
no,
off?
No, because they probably know that pretty well. And it takes
so
a lot longer.
So you're saying that stick is a little extra?
Probably a little bit. But he's also blind, so.
And what's faster, cutting off your hand or dislocating your thumb?
Probably cutting off your hand, honestly, with the swords ahead.
Yeah, okay, anyway.
He's blind. So, he didn't care.
So where do you rank this in the... Where do you rank this in the overall Marvel Netflix pantheon? And pretty much how do... I guess, do you want them to do another meetup?
Yeah, I can take another meetup. As long as I don't have to take with the first three... What they did with the first three episodes. Just let's get it rolling. Like, if you're going to do solo series, get it going. If you want to even do a cliffhanger or whatever. And then if you're going to do a meetup, let's just... get rolling right into it.
Adrian?
I would not watch another thing. Am I, like, super excited about it? Like, is it, like, on my calendar? No, not really, just because Punisher is coming out. And they need, if they do another one, they have to acknowledge Spider-Man somewhere in there. Like, Marvel themselves has to acknowledge Spider-Man in this thing. And they also have to acknowledge why, like, no one knew about the hand when they've been around for thousands of years, but, you know, we'd know about Hydra and S.H.I.E.L.D. and all this stuff, and, like, the whole Doctor Strange people, like, we know about all them, but no one knew about the hand. Literally nobody on the planet knew about the hand. This guy who got his back broke, or, like, his legs broken, climbed some mountain to go talk to the people in Doctor Strange, but they're supposed to be, like, the secretive thing, but no one knew about the hand for thousands of years. I just don't really buy it. So they got to acknowledge that if they do this again, like, fit them.
Was Doctor Strange in New York as well? I can't remember. I don't think but it was the origin, though. I thought they...
No, I'm talking about the organization that Doctor Strange is with. Like,
I know, but I thought they operated out of, like, they had a branch in New York, they operated most of the movie outside of New York.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, like, they...
Oh, okay.
I'm saying that they need to acknowledge how, like, this thing fits into the greater Marvel universe, because that was, like, a secret organization, but people knew about it, like, even if it was, like, in, like, hush hush secret. It seems like no one knows about the hand in anything other than in, like, this little microcosm of New York, but they're, like, a worldwide organization, so how does that not anyone know? Why is S.H.I.E.L.D. not all over this? So it's, they just need to fit the, basically, I just want them to fit the Defenders better into the Marvel universe. After you've already acknowledged that they're there, they know about the event. Like, just make sure, have them acknowledge that they are lesser. They're not the Avengers. They're street level, like they kind of say in Spider-Man: Homecoming.
Well, I do know that this definitely drew almost to me like a line where either you have to either acknowledge, like Adrian said, or basically don't, because there's no other way of going.
Pull
about
it apart or start acknowledging. I agree, because essentially you have every part of New York represented in the Defenders except for Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Or is he from Queens? No, Brooklyn. He's from Brooklyn, right?
Yeah. Brooklyn.
Is Cap
is from Queens.
I know that Cap. Yeah, Cap is from Queens. Okay. It would make sense.
Or reverse? I think it's reverse. Yeah, it's reverse. He's like, where are you from? Queens. And he's like, yeah, Brooklyn. Yeah.
Obviously, New York is really strong in the Marvel universe. So, like, you have to have some interplay.
Yeah.
I think for me, like, I don't so much want to see a giant meetup so much as I want to make sure that when they do these solo episodes, they say, oh, this is happening. I'm going to call up what's his name because he's, you know, he does this. Or, hey, Danny has some connections. Let me use, like, I want to make sure that after this, they are still using each other and they just don't have an entire season where it has nothing. Like, they just completely forget everything that happened. Which I can see happening.
Yeah.
Which might happen with Daredevil Season 3 if they're going to go with the rumored storyline, which is awesome.
What is it?
The Born Again storyline, possibly.
Explain.
It's by Frank Miller, I believe. But I do know, I think it's the one where he basically accepts who he is and basically doesn't turn into whatever the heck he... Basically, they kind of prelude into this... It's not just rumor, but like prelude into what... Basically, accept I'm Daredevil, this is what happens, this is how we do things...
Oh, okay.
I am this person, yeah. And basically not what he was trying to do at the end of season two.
Yeah. So that was our Defenders review. Punisher will be coming out in a couple of months, so we will have a Why Punisher Matters episode coming out around then. If we missed anything, let us know. We definitely want to know what you thought about the series. So add us. Add us if you like us. Add us if you don't like us. Add us if you just want to talk at like 2 a.m. I swear I'll probably be on Twitter. So as always, you can find me at @OhMyMythRandier on Twitter and Instagram. Adrian?
Yeah, you can find me at SuperReese93, SuperReuiz93.
Matt?
And you can find me on Twitter at DatM18, DATTM18.
And what music should we exit to?
Danny Rand going, I am the mortal Iron Fist.
And Luke Cage going, what? Bye.
Smoking Joe Frazier, the Hellraiser, raising hell with the flavor. Terrorize the jam like troops in Pakistan. Swinging through your town like your neighborhood Spider-Man. So all tick-tock and keep ticking. When I get you flipping off the shit that I'm kicking. The Lone Ranger, co-ed, danger. Deep in the dark with the art. To rip the charts apart, the vandal. Too hot to handle your battle. You're saying goodbye like to be careful. Roughneck, inspector.